Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We are Cis Society, a global community that fearlessly explores taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. And this Taboo Talks is a weekly conversation where we dive in with leading minds in order to bring the shadow to light. And today we are going to be joined by Lillian Love, who is a pleasure priestess, as we continue talking about this month's topic of menstruation, aka our periods. So collaborating with the ladies. Hi.
Hi.
Yay. Oh, it's so good to meet you.
You too. So good to meet you both here.
Yes, absolutely so grateful. We'll introduce.
I'll be in a luster.
Sorry. Hi.
Hi, Phoebe.
Oh, wow. Are you bleeding right now?
Or yeah, is that a flower? I started bleeding this morning.
Of course,
so
you did.
Synchronistic. I'm like 2 days early, which never really happens. So it's obviously like pulling for this moment.
This is beautiful.
You know what's wild is that last week our guest around menstruation was bleeding. And wow. The week prior, I was the guest around menstruation and I was bleeding. So every week, we've literally been bleeding as we're sharing these codes.
Wow.
And I'm actually set to bleed today or tomorrow. So like my moon could begin at any second.
Oh, wow. I
call her in her divine time forth.
We're like in the virtual etheric red tent across time and space.
Yes, we absolutely are. The quantum red tent.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. For those of you just hopping on, we are joined today by Lillian Love, who is on a mission to challenge the distorted images of sexuality that society has instilled within us and open the door to the purity of pleasure. A journey she believes has the potential to heal the world. Welcome, Lillian.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an honor, truly. Before we jump into the conversation, Alfina's just going to ground us into our bodies, and then we can get into the juiciness.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Lillian. And just to open up our physical channels to really receive these cosmic, otherworldly codes. And just start by closing our eyes and just sinking into the breath and feeling your feet firmly plant on the ground, forming that connection with the earth and feeling the breath from the earth as you take your next deep inhale. Imagine that you're pulling from the earth into your body, feeling the roots pulling you in deeper, more sturdy and more secure. And now maybe extend your arms overhead, reaching all the way to the sky. And on your next inhale, pulling in this divine breath, feeling this tether to the heavens, your crown chakra, receiving this light and this clarity. And now just coming back into the heart, maybe placing your hands on your heart, feeling this culmination of the heavens and the earth. Joining in the heart temple. And just finding gratitude in this moment
for this gift to be alive and to be here right now. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Thank you, Lillian. We're just, this topic, honestly, has been, like, every time that we have these different topics, it always surprises me what is actually underlying the taboo, like the medicine that talking about these taboo topics is revealing and leading us to. And so far, what this topic has really been pulling out for me, and I think for Heather too, is this idea of our power, of the divine feminine power that's really been hidden and thwarted and, yeah, disconnected from us for so long, that we're finally rediscovering that lies in the secrets of our menstruation and in our blood.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, feeling that so deeply.
So maybe you can start off by sharing a little bit more about who you are and what you do and how this journey has led you to where you are now.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, so I am from Australia originally, and I now live in Hawaii, and I came over to first the United States as a 20-something-year-old actress, went to Los Angeles, and then my mother passed away, and that was a catalyst for me to really look at the pain that I had really been just like pushing aside and hiding. And that was actually really running my life. And so there I was in Hollywood and realized that I had trauma that I hadn't dealt with, and that I actually had complex PTSD. And it was just really impacting every area of my life. And so I said yes to looking in the mirror, to going in, to really doing that deep work of trauma healing. And on that path, I found Tantra. I found, you know, all the things. I'd already been kind of dabbling in yoga and energy work and these things, but this was when I really said yes to really going deep into the layers and finding my Tantra teacher and trauma-informed trainings, and really just anything and everything that I could to save my own life. It felt like that kind of dire, that the like depression, anxiety, panic attacks, like self-loathing was so deep. And so I was doing, you know, plant medicine ceremonies, all the things, therapy. And with my Tantra teacher and that training, that was the first time that I heard somebody in this, like, you know, self-help in and spiritual industry and community that was actually also talking about sexuality. And yes, like the trauma side of healing our sexual relationship with ourselves and energy, but also like the power that lives inside of that. And so I went deep into that journey, and from there really started to hear my own soul voice and listen to it, and heard that call to step in and hold space. And I kind of resisted that for a while. Like, I'm not ready. I'm not a leader. I don't have anything to say. You know, I'm still healing. And it was just so clear. Like, it's not about you. This medicine has saved your life. Other women need it. You know, my friends were already starting to come to me and like, what are you doing, right? Something's shifting in you. And so, yeah, I said yes. And it continues to be one of the most potent journeys, like vulnerable leadership. Like, I am fully human and I am fully divine. I am always learning. And I also have wisdom to share. We get to be both. One of the first things that I started doing, even right before I found my Tantra teacher, I was living in Los Angeles. I was going to these monthly full moon walks through Topanga Canyon with this indigenous medicine woman. And she was teaching us about like plants and herbs and things that, you know, support our bodies and our womb and our menstruation. And I, at that point, had very painful periods, and I had actually not been getting my period for a few years earlier because I had been on the pill when in kind of like when I was 18 to 21. When I came off that, I didn't get my period at all for a couple of years. I had like intense adult acne breakouts, and then it became very, you know, irregular periods and very painful. And so when I started going on these monthly hikes with the full moon, with medicine women, with nature, sitting in circle on the earth, my period started to regulate herself and become regular. At that point, it was like with the full moon, just naturally. And slowly I started to learn and deepen with that journey as a part of my sexual reclamation and my feminine empowerment. And that connection to the womb space is actually this portal of healing and creativity and so much power and wisdom, as you shared, you know. And so, yeah, many different kind of iterations of that, but I, you know, diet and yoni egg work and get, you know, releasing my copper IUD that I had at the time, all these different things supported, as well as this like deep reclamation, emotional, energetic work. And I'll say that I don't have any pain. I haven't had any pain with my moon for like 7-8 years now. And I just attribute this to all of that work. And as you shared at the beginning, right? Just like, wow, there's so much power here that we don't know and that we're actually afraid of. Mm-hmm. And that society, religion, doctors, all of these things are like teaching us that we actually don't know ourselves and that there's something maybe, you know, that we can't trust or are disconnected from or to be afraid of inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a lot.
No, it's so beautiful because we are potent mirrors for each other. So many elements and aspects of the story are mine, and I know also are Elfina's as well. Her moon just recently returned, and it's been this homecoming and celebratory, like just beautiful moment. But yeah, something that you said resonated just in the sense of like getting out, like the process of your healing was you getting out of your own way, mm-hmm. right? And in that, ultimately really remembering the wisdom that exists within us. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was so beautiful and so touching that like we carry these codes that ultimately walk us back home at some point. And I shared with you when I first reached out to you, I came across your article in Medium, which was so badass. I think I was just like, we were looking for guests and I just Googled like womb witch or like blood witch. And then like the article came up. Like I really want her on the show. And I just immediately reached out to you and you responded. And I was so grateful and you made it happen. But I would love if you're open to it, sharing a bit more, of what was in that article, because it was like incredibly taboo, mm-hmm. really expansive, and I feel really important to share with our listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. Thanks for reminding me of that article too. Like, I feel like that was so long ago. I was like, oh yeah. That was bold to write that, you know? Yeah, so I believe the kind of title of the article was I drank my moon blood and I liked it.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, so that's another piece of this journey. I don't remember where I learned and heard other people, other sisters, other, you know, witches, medicine women along the path that were doing that and recommending that. And I did a bit of research about it too and found that, you know, these scientists, it's funny, they're like, you know, 60-year-old kind of like old white men scientists that are studying and finding out that there's stem cells and so much, you know, nutrients and aliveness in menstrual blood. They're drinking it themselves as these scientists to test it out. And like this one 70-year-old scientist who, you know, lacked energy at one point drank it, and he said he like felt like he did run around the block, but he felt like he could like run around the block like for an hour with so much energy, where before he's just completely lethargic, right? So anyway, I did, you know, a little bit of research and just like felt in and listened to my wise woman sisters and made that choice to try it myself. And it's something that I've done at times over the years. And I was living in Kauai at this time, in this community, like very rootsy, like living on the earth in a tent, just bare bones, this moment of just really like exploring and discovering and communing deeper with the earth and myself. And yeah, I remember that first time that like all the taboo around it, you know, to sit there with myself and my moon blood and to pour it into a glass from my menstrual cup and to make that decision and to like face like, oh, is it going to be gross? And then, you know, all of the things that come up around that, and to just lay down a prayer to allow this to be a moment of reclamation of my power on another level. And drink it, and it didn't taste bad. And I immediately felt this like dropping into my womb space, my power, my heart, my like everything just like opening. And I felt that like opening and lift of energy and expansion, but also this like grounding, this like deepening, and this just like, I am here. Like, I get to trust myself. I get to feel connected to myself, to my power, to my yoni, to my womb, to the earth, to like the aliveness that is here pulsing through the earth and through me. Like, this is mine. This is my energy. This is my power. This is my wisdom. I claim this as my own. Yeah.
Oh. Cool. I something through and just the process of connecting to your moon blood and drinking it. Like this, the blood exists predominantly right in the space of our portal of creation in our holy womb. And to actually drink it, you're bringing those codes and circulating them through the totality of your being, right? And like from an energetic standpoint, it makes sense. From a scientific standpoint, it makes sense. Like from spiritual standpoint, it makes sense. And like, to be transparent with you, I haven't tried it. I've adored it on my face. I've offered it to the earth in really beautiful ways. And I am, after this conversation, it just came through, committed. When my beautiful moon arrives, I am going to drink some of my moon.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it.
Yes, Heather, I just started to try my menstrual blood for the first time, like 2-3 cycles ago. It looks like you're drinking your menstrual blood right now.
It's beet juice, but it was definitely intentional.
Yeah, you're already like preparing mentally. You're psychologically preparing. Yeah, I mean, reading articles like yours, Lillian, and other people, and like, for me, the science also helps, because obviously we're all ancient witches, and you tell me anything that's like mystical and I'm like, oh, interesting. But for me, what really grounds it in is having that scientific lens as well. And I was also learning that there are scientists that were actually reversing their gray hairs,
yes,
from drinking their menstrual blood, and how it's like a secret of longevity, not just for your skin, making your skin look younger and tighter, but for your actual, like, yeah, for your gray hairs. Who knows, maybe there's even more studies around you being able to live longer the more menstrual blood that you drink. Who knows? I feel like we're just starting to study these realms because they are so taboo, kind of like with psychedelics. And who knows, in the next like decade, how much more studies are going to be done and what they're going to continue to find with the benefits of that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So the question, yeah, for you regulars in the space, like, what's the process for you? Do you drink it pure? Do you dilute it? Like, what? I'm just curious how you each of
I mean,
well,
the,
oh yeah.
Go ahead.
Say, for the first time and maybe a couple of times, after that, I drink it pure, and like, you know, like a small shot or something, glass, not a, you know, not there's not that much anyway, right? So, and yeah, a couple of times I've diluted it with water.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm taking internal soul here for my journey.
Yeah, I've only, and you know, never tried it plain, but I've heard that you can like add it to all sorts of things too. And you don't need that much, like you're saying, like it's just a little bit goes a long way. And it's one of those things that I feel like too, it's like the look of it and like the idea of it is grosser, quote unquote, like it freaks you out more than when you actually taste it. And then you realize it doesn't really like have a strong taste at all. It's pretty neutral.
Okay. Yeah, and obviously everybody's different, and at different times, whether we are, you know, maybe our diet is less healthy or there's more stress or whatever might be going on, I'm sure that impacts, and maybe it impacts the taste and the nutrients and all of that in it. You're drinking your beet juice right now, so you're you're like prepared.
Oh, that reminds me.
So powerful.
I'm curious, Lillian, like if you know, because I've heard like differing opinions, like when is the best time in your cycle to drink your blood?
Yeah, I've definitely heard different things too. I remember the first time I did it, I think it was day one. I've heard other things that like day three is better. So I don't know exactly, and I really just go off intuition of when I feel.
What was coming through the concept of also urine therapy, and like, mm-hmm, just the fact that like they scientists tend to suggest midstream, because the concept, I don't know if it's the same with our moons, but I kind of intuitively like it is the beginning of our cycles is the time of like greatest release,
right?
Toxins, density, emotional, physical, like all of those things. And then the middle point is like the cleanest, clearest.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Blood, like at least how the urine therapy works. So I'm curious. I'm just going to feel into it intuitively and see where that takes me.
Yeah. And I just want to name, like, you know, it's so wild that this is so taboo, right? When men have fluids that come out of their sex organs, that is like completely normalized for us to ingest, right? Mm. So it's like, why do we have this particular thing around women? And is it because it's, you know, it's red, it's blood, and like, what is that, right? But I really think it goes deeper than just that. that there's been so much conditioning around that and weird distortions and demonizing even of like the feminine.
Yeah, definitely dive into some conspiracy theories, but we can save that for another call.
I love that.
What do you both think, like, I mean, just tapping into your intuitive wisdom, like, what do you feel like would happen if a man started to like regularly drink menstrual blood of like his partner or just a woman? Like, what would shift in a man? Do you feel like they'd be able to connect with like the womb's wisdom deeper?
Oh yeah. What's coming through for me is this like emerging, a dance, like the emotional system, almost being, it just like what came through my channel was like enhancing the telepathic abilities and ability to really like read one another beyond the space of words and the limiting space of words, really. Mm. Like to connect to that life force energy and to begin to like see and understand your partner more deeply is coming through for me.
Yeah. I love that. I feel that. Just this morning, actually, my partner and I were remembering that he's the first person that I have given my moon blood to drink. And I'm the first person that he's drunk moon blood from. Yeah, so that's another thing. We did that like maybe 6 months or so ago. And yeah, that was really vulnerable. I was like, I've never shared this with a partner. And he asked for it. He asked to. And so it was a really powerful, beautiful, vulnerable ritual. And I feel like, yeah, we experienced that, everything that you just named, like that deeper connection without words, the telepathy, the like intuitive, like energetic connection. And yeah, I think we're planning, desiring to have children together. And so it felt like this like deepening of bond.
Yeah. Mm.
Bond, like commitment and devotion to family and to like his devotion to my womb and the feminine. And
wow, yeah, devotion, that word keeps coming through. I can't think of another act more devotional than drinking your partner's blood.
Yeah.
It's sacred. It's like our most sacred offering that literally creates life and connects us to other dimensions. Can't think of anything more sacred. And in our recent findings, we've been discovering that the ancient meaning of taboo is actually rooted in something that's so sacred that it's not meant to be in the mainstream knowledge. Mm. And so even this talk, taboo talks, it's really like a sacred conversation. And this is such a sacred topic. And not everyone is meant to know, like not everyone is meant to drink our blood, because that connection, that telepathic, like inner connectedness is such a sacred bond.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Again, I feel like you know, it's very normalized, it's maybe not talked about, but it's pretty normal, unspoken, that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, unprotected sex and, you know, ejaculating inside and all of those things when they may not even be in like a deep partnership or not desiring children or whatever it is, and like no judgment to all of that, right? And like what a deep bond it actually creates. So both. Like, how can we really bring light to this place that's been very hidden and demonized in a way, and a lot of judgment put on it around moon blood and that connection? And then also, can we bring to light the places that we've like normalized, but we don't really like talk about it, or, you know, that in our culture actually has lost that sacredness, you know, and we forgot like how actually deep that act is.
Yeah, I would. I thank you for bringing that up. I would love to open this space up to like potential solutions for that, because it's been coming into my field so much recently too. Just this, the concept of energy exchange and how sacred that is, and how, I mean, you know, being raised like in a particular part of the U.S. where like it just wasn't seen that way, you know, from my teenager perspective, it was just like a body and a body. Like, yeah, like what can we do as innovators and solutionaries to like begin to shift that narrative?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. You have more taboo talks. Yeah, like really talk about it and yeah, bring it to the light, right? Talk about it, write about it, bring it to the light. We're so at such an amazing time right now that we can like have this, we can have these like virtual red tents and come together and share codes and remember together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is one of the biggest keys that is like unshackling us in the ways that we've like kept it hidden. And so yeah, this piece of like, hey, let's actually like slow down here and feel into and talk about this thing that either right, maybe it's with your partner or a man you've just been sleeping with or your sisters or whatever it might be, to like, hey, this thing that maybe we've even been doing and really like take a step back at how this is impacting us, like, and noticing in ourselves, oh, when I do that thing, when I engage in that way, when I have that energy exchange, how do I feel? Like the light and the shadow. And is it really serving me? And is it really in alignment with my values and my needs and my desires and my boundaries right now? And if not, how can I like communicate that? How can I like have that communication with myself, but then those that also, it's important. So to bring into that conversation that there might need to be adjustment or clarification of actually, are we holding this the same?
Yeah, like an analogy that's coming through is as if we are the CEOs of our own experience, you know, we're like kind of governing body of business that we're operating called us, you know, that encompasses so much, and to have, you know, regular check-ins with ourselves, like regular team meetings, you know, with your body and with your spirit, and just really like making it a point to come back home and gather information from that space that we can then bring with us forward, so we can begin to make healthier decisions for ourselves that feel more supportive and expansive and safe.
And I think like what you guys are both sharing, it just sounds like such deep ancient wisdom. Like it sounds like your wombs are speaking right now, and these are the codes of the divine feminine, these codes of devotion and sacredness that have been really stripped from the mainstream view around our sexuality and around our sexual interactions. And of course, it's not to say that sex can't be fun and sex can't be casual and sex can't be liberating, because it is all of those things. But I feel like that's been the only narrative. And really, like the wisdom of the womb is like bringing this tether and this balance. And allowing us to find the sacredness of making these decisions that are really like rooted in our truth and not just because they're floating around in the mainstream, but really connecting to our own inner authority. And that's the most important part, is just making sure that we are making decisions that are in alignment with what our bodies and our souls really need and really desire in that moment.
And circling this back to this conversation, the most potent time of the month to do that for me is during my moon. I am the most deeply connected to other dimensions, to my spirit, to my body, to my wisdom, and I'm receiving so much information. So yeah, if you're another woman and you're listening, and whether you're at the beginning of your remembering journey with your womb, or you're further along, like inviting you to use that time, a sacred ceremony of devotion, of listening, of like quieting down the mind and really opening up our vessels to receive.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this is the time that we get to really slow down and make space and drop in and listen and reevaluate what's working, what's not, what's, you know, what needs adjustment. I was just really feeling, Alfina, when you were speaking on that piece around how, you know, we've had to like to break free from the indoctrination and distortions and oppression put on all beings and all genders, but we'll say specifically a specific kind on women and wombs, to break free from that conditioning, whether it's from, you know, a religious upbringing or just that religious kind of cultural conditioning that lives in so much of our world and politics and beyond. Like, we kind of had to go the other way. It's like there's been different waves of feminism, right? My mom was a feminist. She was brought up Catholic, and then when she got to college, she started exploring. She told me she had sex for the first time and she enjoyed it and it was beautiful, and she was like, well, they told me that that was bad, so what else did they tell me that wasn't true? And so she was like, yeah, pretty radical feminist, and like that was a necessary movement, that was a necessary push to reclaim our rights, our voice as women, to reclaim our pleasure, our bodies, our sexuality, our choice. And yet there was also an impact that it kind of like swung us in this big direction on one end of a pendulum. Same, I feel like with like the goddess movement, the divine feminine, you know, rising movement, it's like necessary, so necessary. And yet there's also this like, oh, I also want to like come back to and like embrace the divine masculine, right? Embrace God. So like I'm like so deep with Mary Magdalene, and I also want Yeshua, you know? So like we bring that back in. So it's like we had to like go far away from, in a way, like, yeah, the religious conditioning and all of that to reclaim. And now we're like finding that pendulum swing of like, yeah, we want to reject this. Like, you're telling me I can only have sex in marriage with one person, the rest of my, and that's, if it's outside of that, then it's not sacred and it's not okay. And now, not to say that we need to do that, but we get to like bring that pendulum back to the place of what's true for me, what's sacred to me, what's my value. Yeah. And so, coming back to this time when we're bleeding is literally an invitational time that we can really ask the these questions and listen in and tune in. And that takes like kind of some work as well, right? To for sure again reclaim the ways that we haven't been, you know, having our moon isn't like recognized in traditional culture or in the workplace, in the mainstream, right? We don't get like a couple of days off when we have our period if we're just have a regular job, right? But we get to like claim that this is actually a time that I get to slow down. Mm-hmm. I always like play with, you know, PMS, premenstrual syndrome, is actually please make space. Because I don't know about you, but my PMS time, my please make space time is like, that's got to notice, like I have more emotions. I have maybe a little bit more irritation energy, or I need some space to myself. And that's indicating like, yeah, now's the time to please start to make space in my schedule and in my relationship and wherever else I need to be able to slowly come to. When I start to bleed, I can stop even for a day, you know, or some hours or whatever it might be.
Yeah. I've sent an article to Elfina. I don't remember exactly where it was in the world, but I came across in my research a country that has menstruation leave.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this? And I believe their partners do as well too. I believe they're allotted 2 to 3 days per month.
Is it probably like Sweden or potentially one of those
countries? I honestly want to look it up, and I'll chat as well. So those of you listening can access it. But it was so beautiful. And because there's this, like, you know, growing up and kind of being in the matrix before I came into my dharmic pathway, you know, I was working these jobs that didn't like know how to hold, like, it's if you don't show up because you have your moon, you're fired, you know, and like scarcity mindset's running and you're like, I'm a machine, you know. And it's like the, like, collectively culture, like there's an overall like arching viewpoint that like we're not human, like, you know, that,
yeah,
that like, you know, that these times are not these sacred, soft, like internal spaces that are like really meant for us to be with us. So anyways, I'm like, long story short, I'm advocating for global PMS, like that. Is something we can call in on this call. Let's plant the seed. If manifest, begin to share it in conversation and just let consciousness and God imagine.
The whole world got to just like slow down and stop for a few days a month and like feel and be and rest. And lavish and roses and baths
and foot massages
and I love that they are giving that to the men too, because that gives permission for the men to experience this dynamic of just resting and being, which even more so the masculine feels pressure to be that machine for their woman in their lives or their partner, you know, just in general. And so I think that would just be equally healing for the men to be able to take that time out and even, know what that feels like to kind of be bleeding in an energetic way.
Yeah.
And something that Heather and I have been really exploring too is like this idea of like, how do we teach the men around our cycles and how do we allow them to really support us when we're going through the cycles? And since you have a partner, a beloved, that seems like you guys are in a really committed and devotional connection where he's actually drinking your blood, I would be curious to hear like how you've been able to teach him about your cycle and your needs throughout your cycle, especially when you're bleeding, and maybe any like rituals or anything that you guys practice together around that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty blessed that he already, you know, has like some awareness around like this is a time of the month for women that is sensitive and sacred, and she needs my support. So he kind of came in with that awareness. Mm-hmm. And again, like he asked, you know, to do this moon blood drinking ritual. He asked to be connected, like receiving the emails or whatever, like on my flow app, like my menstrual app that tells wow. him, you know, where I'm at in my cycle and what I need.
Cool. But wait, you know, the app tells him that? The app tells him specifically what he needs, what you need?
Yeah, I think it's Flow, Alicia Vitti, I think is her name. She wrote Woman Code, I think it is. So yeah, the app's all about your cycle. And you can just enter your partner's email into it, and then they will receive kind of emails throughout the month, like where your woman is at in her cycle and what she needs and how you can support her.
Amazing.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's so brilliant. Yeah.
It's a revelation.
Yeah. Maybe we can
yes.
Yeah, maybe we can link that app in the show notes for anyone yeah. that wants to be a part of that.
So, you know, and so if you don't have a partner who, you know, is aware and asks, like you can be that divine feminine leader and share and let him know that this is really important to you. This would be really supportive and nourishing to you to have his awareness, his support, have some of his curiosity or tracking this. Even if it's like you want to put a physical calendar, you know, up on the wall or something, and to let him know that it's going to benefit him, right? Like he benefits when he's aware that I'm in my luteal, which is that PMS phase, and I let him know I'm in that place, or he's aware I'm in that place, that I have more sensitivity right now. I have maybe some like a little bit more irritation, energy or shortness or emotions coming up, and I need more space. Or I just need his like sensitivity and awareness that that's where I'm at, right? Like that benefits him so that he's, you know, getting to take care of himself as well. And he's not just being like in the firing line of the divine, the like rage divine feminine, which you know, was a thing. Now it's like, okay, I notice I have some like irritation energy, and babe, I'm in my luteal right now, and I just don't have as much like resources to be as patient, and I'm doing my best. And he's able to be like, thank you so much for letting me know, and I'll be like more mindful of where you're at and, you know, what do you need? What would be supportive of you? So we can literally ask and let them know what we need. And you know, it's so interlinked with our, like our moon and our hormones are so interlinked with our emotions and our sexual energy and our desires and our needs and our boundaries. And so we again get to be the like sacred steward of our own experience and what's going on with us and what do we want and what do we need, and to communicate that. And you know, sometimes in my moon or whatever time of the month that is, right, I want to be engaging sexually, and sometimes I don't. I want to be in my own field. I want to be channeling that energy in a different way. Mm-hmm. And we find other ways to be connected. Like just this morning,
we just sat right here and I wrapped my legs around him, and we named this beforehand to just name, like, I'm not feeling sexual right now. I am not feeling like I want you inside me right now, but I want to connect in like an emotional and an energetic, sensual, heart connected way. And so I put my legs around him, you know, and we breathed together, and just some like gentle movement and undulations and caressing. And that was beautiful and really deep and connecting. And, you know, he feels, it supports him to also feel like loved and appreciated and seen and all of these things. It and can release any of the place that he might be feeling like, I want this, right? But it's not available right now. When we just name those things and find other ways to like connect.
So beautiful. Yeah, and the narrative that I've received from men around the story of menstruation is just like, I don't know how to be there for her, so I just kind of like lean back. You know, it's like, I don't want to step on toes. Like, there's some shame up around that, not how to express. And just beginning to like tap into your own intuition, your own needs and desires, and, you know, journal, write them down, just like find a way to like gently communicate them to your partner, or and start there. And yeah, if you're like quite a beginner in the space, Elfina wrote an incredible book called Menstrual Magic. Serves as a journal that tracks the four seasons or cycles of your, which is also a great way to start. As well too, if you're kind of like, I don't even know what I want or need, you know, because I remember at the beginning of my journey, I was like, I don't have needs, you know, like I don't have wants or desires, like I'm just a vessel, you know. And coming back online to the fact that I'm very much a human, and I consistently have needs and desires, and beginning to get in touch with those.
Yeah. Starting with like a journaling practice, contemplation of like, what do I need? What do I want? What do I desire? What am I longing for? What have I been not giving myself permission to need or want or desire or express? And just seeing what comes through on the page.
Yeah. And like the
tuning in with.
Oh, I was just
tuning in.
We go. Well, I was gonna say, if you're stuck in the like I know what I don't want, which can be kind of the like a neural pathway of like, well, I don't want this, I don't want this. The I don't wants also point you to what you do want. It's just the opposite. So if you're like, well, I don't want him to like ignore me throughout my cycle, then the opposite that would say like, I desire deeper levels of communication and connection during my cycle. Yeah. So you can begin that as a code to lead you. Truth of what you.
For me, it's like so much of like figuring out what to ask for starts with me knowing what I need, and so much of that has actually come through like my own research and studying, and then the more awareness I'm cultivating around these seasons that we're always cycling through, these archetypes that we're embodying, the nutrition that my body needs, the activities that I'm meant to be doing, the rituals, the mantras, like all these things I cover in my book. It's really, it's like completely unlocked this next level awareness of where I'm at, which is really helping me to be really clear and decisive with where I'm spending my time and energy, what I'm doing, and who I'm with. And then that's like the foundation for communicating that to not just your partner, but your friends. And like, I'm in my PMS, I'm in my luteal stage right now. And I've been noticing, like, I can't make space for all the people in my life that wanted to make space right now. And I'm having to be that wise woman and being like, no, actually, like, I can't do this. We need to meet next week or maybe tomorrow, because right now I had to turn a dear friend away yesterday. I'm like, I really don't have space and energy right now for you. I love you. This is nothing personal. I'll talk to you soon. And it was just so clear and decisive, and it felt so empowering. And I felt like because I knew what stage I'm in, it gave me the permission to really like confidently declare my needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It takes, when we know like our cycle and then what we generally need, or and it might change, but there is a pattern, but we start to track that pattern. We get out of like, I know for me, like I would get out of like, why am I so tired right now? Right? Like what's wrong with me? Like that I don't have energy to do this or that, or yeah, meet all those people, or oh, this is where I'm actually at. Mm-hmm. And I get to be here and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And this is natural.
Right.
This is cyclical.
Are in each moment. So we're, oh, this conversation is incredible. And like Elfina and I have said this multiple times, like we talk about menstruation forever. And I think we just will beyond what, but for the sake of time, because we're an hour, I have one last question for you, Lillian. And then I would love to also know what the best way for listeners is to connect with you. But we didn't get the opportunity to like dive into your offerings and what you bring to the world in regards to womb work and connecting women. So if you can share that briefly. Then again, let listeners know how best to connect with you.
Sure, thank you. I think the best way to connect with me is here in Instagram. You can also go to my website, lilyclairlove.com, and send me an email, reach out, send me a DM here. My offerings right now, I have one-on-one work available, and I have a program and a retreat coming up. The retreat is here on the Big Island of Hawaii in the end of March, and it's called the Pleasure Priestess Path, and it's with a dear sister, Alicia Palladino, who lives in Maui, where you're at, you know. And so that's a deep dive with us, specifically coming in person 7 days together. We're going to be going deep into the priestess tantric arts, feminine empowerment, sexuality, connection with our womb, our wisdom, our power, our creativity. And I also have a monthly membership called Bloom that pairs this like feminine embodiment, tantric priestess work with our businesses and our creations and our art and that like modern CEO witch that we are. And so if you want support in that area, then feel free to reach out.
Absolute magic. Thank you so much for joining today. And full transparency, Elfina and I talked about coming to your retreat. We still haven't made a decision yet, but it looks juicy for those of you listening. We've been like following the Pleasure Priestess path, and we were just talking about it, and then we connected with you and you have this offering. So it feels very aligned. I'm going to continue to feel into it, but I'm so grateful that you exist and that you're important codes with the planet. Like, thank you for being here today. And I want to thank you for tuning in to today's Taboo Talk. You can catch the replay under our highlights at Cis Society World Instagram, where you are listening right now. And join us every week, same time, same place, for more transformative episodes. You can also find us on Spotify Podcast and YouTube under our bio links. And if you're up for deeper conversations, just send us a private message to join our WhatsApp community. Looking forward to seeing you all next week. Sending you both love. I love you, Elfina. I love you, Lillian. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, beauties. Thanks,
thank
everyone.
Thank you so much. Pleasure, priestess. Thank you for gracing us with these womb codes.
You too. Thank you all. Aloha.
Aloha.
See you.